I first met my co-host when she had a syndicated talk show all about sex. Sex with Sue. Sue McGarvey. And I am the milkman, John Milkey, host of The Milkman Show, heard on radio stations across North America. And my home base, blasttheradio.com. We're glad you're here. Let's get turned on. It's a meeting of the minds. One dirtier than the other. Probably mine.
That's debatable. Okay. I like smut, baby.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, you come at it from a professional level. I come at it from a pervy level. Let's put it that way.
We just did our first pervy book club. I'm telling you, it was pretty smutty. And our next one is something called The Wetlands. And if you want to become a member of the pervy book club, send Sue at Sex with Sue your email and I'll send you the book and send you an invite and OMFG, because we are going to do whatever's hot and everybody has to find a clip of what turns them on.
Something tells me this is not going to be about the Florida Everglades.
No, okay. No, it is not your mother's book club. It's all good.
All right. Where do you want to... Actually, you know what? Can we begin today with a question I was asking on my show? By the way, to our podcast audience, I do a radio show called The Milkman Show, inviting you to wake up with a friend every morning. Wink. Blasttheradio.com is where you'll find it. Milkmanshow.com. And I'm asking every now and then some questions that kind of tie into our podcast. So on Friday, I asked a Frisky Friday question. I found the answers kind of interesting, and I want to get your take on this. So I posted the following. My partner is aware of my sexiest fantasy. So the answers to choose from were as follows. Yes, and they're into it. Yes, and they're not into it. No, I know they'd react badly. And no, I'm too shy to tell them. So here's the results, Sue. My partner is aware of my sexiest fantasy. Yes, and they're into it, 67%.
That's, ooh, good job.
That's good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they follow you because they're hot. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Here's where it gets concerning. No, I know they'd react badly, 11%. And no, I'm too shy to tell them, 22%. Can we zero in on that last one?
Yep, 22%. It's they say that that more people are afraid of public speaking than they are of death. But the idea of talking to your partner about how you want it is one of the top fears out there, right? And to be able to say, this is the way I want it, this is the kind of sex I want, this is how I'd like it, is really hard. And so you normalize that by making sex, how do you communicate with your partner? Bring up fantasy, when you see that, but it's make it normalized. Just make it blasé. I would say, hey, I was reading Cosmo and this is what came up. And what do you think? And you talk about these sexual urges and you say, hey, I was listening to Milkman and the common fantasies are, what do you think about that? Or, hey, I want to do the mojo upgrade. Let's do a survey together over a glass of wine. Something like that, that normalizes it.
And when you talk to patients, when you talk to people who come to see you and in your group discussions, etc., what is the fear? What is the actual fear that if I articulate this to my partner and they're not going to be into it, what is the fear? Is it that the partner is going to leave them, look at them as if they're a freak for the rest of their lives? What sort of all of the above?
I think primarily look at them like they're going to be a freak. Like it's this idea that it is bad. And I tell people, you sit around the dinner table and you talk about politics and the neighbor's dog, but you never talk about sex. You learn there's something bad about it. So people have learned you don't talk about it, or you've been shamed about it. So being shamed by somebody you are being vulnerable with and your person is cuts to the bone. And as I say, sex is close to the bone. So it's really scary to be open and vulnerable about what you want to try in bed.
So I get that, because let's go back a few years. I had to have a conversation with my own partner about wanting to open things up. And my first admission was I was quite interested in pursuing bondage and S&M, etc. And that is not something I'd casually mentioned it between us before, that I'd like to try this. And she doesn't like the idea of being tied up. It scares her, and not in a good way. It makes her very uncomfortable. But I mean, at least I guess there was some communication there. So when I actually finally just, sat her down and said, look, I want to pursue this, and here's how I can see this happening. What are your concerns, etc.? The first thing she said was, I'm glad we're having this conversation. Like, I'm glad to know this and we can find a solution to this. Now, maybe I've just got an exceptional partner in that regard. I don't know.
No, most partners are open to it. Because if you're still with them, they can't be, you know, you don't want, you know, they're usually not assholes. Some people can be really judgy about sex, but it's to say, I'd like to talk about a fantasy have, but I'm not sure you'll be open to it. You know, reception, it's being receptive and respectful, even if they go, okay, this is not what I want. I'm not interested in this. It's about being honest and vulnerable. And if you've got a partner you love and are living with you and they love you, that piece is important.
So, yeah. Okay. So if you know that your partner's not going to be into this, but you really are, and, you know, for the rest of your life, you're going to be sitting there with this pent up energy and this wondering why, if you at least articulate it, yeah, there's going to be some fear and yeah, there's going to be some uncomfortable conversations, but by and large, not exclusively, but I think the majority of those conversations will end up somewhere in a happy place, right? Not necessarily the middle.
Not all of them, but, you know, and I always say do it in a place where you're not about to have sex. Do it while you're walking in the park and see what happens. Do it driving in the car. And the other thing is the same way I tell people about breakups, right? You know, in a perfect world, you sit them down and say, it's not working for me, but you're an awesome person. But a lot of people don't do that because, you know, the feedback or the crying or the whatever. So then they send an email or then they send a text or then they, you know, leave a voicemail. Like, do what you can. I tell people to do what you can and forgive yourself through the process. So sometimes you may have to say, in your case, you're an audiophile like I am, send them a voicemail going, I was reading this, you know, every Monday when we, you know, when we do some of this record, like we record through the week, but I'm reading about sex. I will sometimes send my partner a text going, I'm doing some sex research. And I got to tell you, I'm getting wiggly thinking about it. and you know, and
I'm getting wiggly?
He's in a workspace. So it's to be able to sort of normalize those conversations. And that's what it's about. It's about normalizing those conversations because it's perfectly natural. You talk about how you sometimes get blowback, you know, on your VTR show from talking about sex or from other episodes you do.
But the reason for that, as you know, is I'm trying to normalize these conversations. If I can if I can have a public persona like I do, and if I can put it out there and listen, I take a lot of heat for it. And I certainly took a shit ton of heat for it. Pardon my French on your podcast. But I took just an inordinate amount of heat from management at the radio station I used to work for. They didn't want anything to do with that. I felt it was vitally important because I know that for my own mental health, part of my, like one of the biggest parts of my struggle was I felt trapped. I felt like I was a freak, like I liked weird things that nobody else could relate to. And what I discovered was the more open I became about these conversations, the more I was liberating people. Thank you for saying what I couldn't say. Thank you for making me feel like this is okay. And I don't think I'm into things that are really that extreme and that out of the ordinary. I like sex. What's wrong with talking about sex?
So if you can make sex conversations mundane and normal, yeah. And that's what I spend my time as a sex therapist doing, is telling people they're not mutants. They're not freaks. They're not crazy. They're not, like, just because they are feeling this way doesn't make them wrong. And the difference, there is sometimes the difference between what bounces around in your head and it's whacked and the reality of it, right? One of the top five sexual fantasies for women is a faceless stranger coming through their window and taking them up against the wall. The fantasy is hot. The reality would be terrifying. So Understand that there is that difference. But if you're doing it in a safe way and role-playing with a partner, you'll find that out. And that's the goal, is to say, I like it, I don't like it, and that's okay.
All right. So my last question on this topic to you regarding the question, my partner is aware of my sexiest fantasy and the 22% who said, no, I'm too shy to tell them. Okay. So for those people who are too shy to tell them and who just, even after hearing what you and I just talked about, are still not going to have the conversation with their partner, what do they ultimately end up doing by and large? Do they end up in a situation where they're cheating or going beyond the marriage to live out these fantasies?
I had a conversation with one of the top dominatrixes. Actually, she's doing a workshop with me this week. Mistress Kat, who, you know, has got a picture of her beating Sid Vicious in the 80s in London in a punk club. And she's, you know, she says that there's so many married guys that come to see her in absolute silence because they don't feel safe enough to do that. And so that's, a lot of times it gets pushed underground. And there's partners that don't want to know. Don't ask, don't tell. If you're going to do this and not, you know, I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to have to face it. But there's a lot of people that need to understand that it's a thing. And if you can do it in a way that continues to, you know, if you can ask for a hall pass, if they are not interested, okay, that's an option. It's just, or you can go, you know, as I said, it's one of the things I do as a sex therapist is help negotiate that. Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, Valentine's week, go to the sex shop. Go say, hey, it's Valentine's week. If we can't do this and talk about this because we're doing a little bit out of our comfort zone, what are we doing here? Like, is this,
but you know, people have that fear, Sue. You know, people have that fear of, oh, what if somebody sees me here? So what?
Yeah. Well, and they're usually in discreet places. So, you know, take a deep breath, wander through, and they're starting to be normalized. Gentle with yourself through it.
Appreciate your insight on that. And we'll keep posting Frisky Friday questions and other uncomfortable quote-unquote questions. And of course, we talk about this and more here on the podcast. If you've got a question for Sue, how do they reach you?
Sue@sexwithsue.com. Bring it on.
Next up on the podcast, Sue, you want to talk about timing of sex, actually scheduling when we're going to have the sex.
And I've talked about this before. I think it's important. And some people think, oh, Sue, it's a chore if I schedule it. Well, I schedule my massage. I schedule my manicure. It doesn't feel like a chore. And that if you try different things, you know, in terms of different times, you know, Esther Perel, who's the sex therapist for sex therapists, says foreplay begins at the end of the previous orgasm, right? So it's flirting and seduction and as opposed to being the 5 minutes before pound town, right? It's like, let's figure out how we do this in a way that's sexy. And if you can anticipate it, especially for women, because women are turned on by what they think about. So if you know at 4 o'clock, it's time to get intimate, or you know that at least you're going to get naked and cuddly, your body starts in the back of your head to start to move that process. Because women are, and we've talked about this, a slow elevator, press the button. You may need to get a copy before they're ready. So the more that they can think about it. Now, the other piece, you know, women want adventure. So doing the same thing isn't a great idea. But average intercourse, just so you know, in terms of timing, 7 to 13 minutes is what most people do. So you're not talking about forever. That is the peak, 7 to 13 minutes. So yeah, you want some foreplay. Yes, you want some flirtation, but you're going to be highest amount of testosterone first thing in the morning. Orgasm before you go to sleep gives you a better night's sleep. So look, think about, it's time for you to talk about the timing of sex, because I think for a lot of people that leads to obstacles in the bedroom.
When you're talking to folks about scheduling sex then, are you actually saying, no, put sex on there, like we know we're going to have sex, or are you scheduling time together and it's understood that that time together is going to be about that?
When I talk about it in session with clients, I say, look, average is twice a week. Can you each pick a slot? It doesn't mean that you can't spontaneously have sex through the week just because it pops up. But if you can even schedule one night a week that's scheduled, then the other time can be spontaneous. You know, you're hitting at least national average. It's survival. It feels close. It feels connected. And it has that 75 different things of why sex is beneficial for your health and your relationship. So I actually put it in my calendar knowing that there are times where sex isn't possible, whether it's my partner or I having a physical issue or we're just not there. But at the very least, it is naked cuddling. It's touching. It's, I love the Nuru where you can slide on each other or you can.
Yeah, I still need to acquire some of that, by the way.
Yeah. It's so much fun to do something. Like I'll just, as I said, whether it's mutual masturbation, whether it is just, we're going to have some touch together and we're going to be naked. We're going to have a shower together. I don't care. As long as it's intimate that you would not do with anybody else in your life.
Well, I scheduled time to do our taxes this past weekend. So perhaps next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can schedule something that has a much better return on my investment.
Yep.
I'm all ears for this because I'm on a mission to lose some weight. I've readjusted my schedule. My afternoons are now my own. And so it's going to be a lot of dog walking. It's going to be a lot of my spin bike, etc. And gosh, maybe I need to listen to what you have to say about this. The best positions for actually losing some calories.
Well, people are thinking about how many calories sex burns. And you're right. We're all trying to lose weight. It's the beginning of February. Christmas was a free for all. So yes, we are trying. But snogging or making out, just kissing, takes is only 2 calories per minute, but vigorous sex is 5 calories per minute. So this is not, it's not going to replace a gym membership. Just so we're clear on this, it's not.
So we're talking vigorous sex where like it's sweaty and it's huffing and puffing.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, and your face is twisted and there's hair everywhere and you're like covered in goo. Yeah, that's really
5 calories. That's it.
That's it. But apparently you can burn up to 100 calories an hour with some of the really crazy positions. Now, it's not for the inflexible. And I'm telling you, I have never done this one. So, you know, I'm not that bendy. I have the flexibility of a baseball bat. But which sex positions? It's the butter churner. Let me describe it to you. It says the woman lies on her back with her legs raised up and behind her head. So, okay, you can put your ankles behind your ears.
Okay.
Her partner then squats and penetrates her from above. Yep. So are you squatting? Yeah, I don't think so.
I can.
I know. I'm sure you can. For enough time to ejaculate, maybe?
No.
Who knows?
No, that's probably pushing it. But I can, you know, for one or two thrusts, I could probably manage that. And so then my ankles give out on me. Yeah.
There's your 5 seconds. Anyway, your 5 calories. So I know. So that is the butter churner.
Okay.
Just in case you want to try it. You know, like if people want to try the really crazy positions, it's always interesting when they do that.
It's not indifferent really to a lot of workouts you see where the kettlebells are involved or whatever else. Just, you know, you're lifting from the knees, make sure the back is straight up and down.
Because yes, there are a lot of sex injuries. A lot of people put their back out. And every time I'm, you know, I'm at a duckling event and I'm saying to people, hey, are you going to sore back? And they look at me and I'm like, great. That's good that you're having sex. Not so good that you hurt yourself.
Have you seen the commercial? I think it's for an insurance company, maybe, but it's a mother and daughter sitting in the living room having a conversation. And
dad
wanders by the record.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't hurt himself on the stairs. And the look on the daughter's face is priceless. Like,
I know.
Oh, mom and dad.
Yeah, stop talking about it. Please stop talking about it. Yeah. My kids are like, run. I know. So you want to increase your sex. You want to increase your sex appeal. I'm, you know, saying that it does. It adds to the calorie burn if you're trying to do that. So step it up. Step up the sex. It's, you know, got a whole bunch of reasons why it's good for you. But one of the reasons is it helps you lose weight.
All right. So the butter churner is number one on the list. Are there a couple of others you can give us to try that might help us lose a calorie or two?
Again, it's the reverse cowgirl for her because she's got to use her quads on you, like leaning down and quad. And so it's basically, it's anything that's squatting is, because if you're taking your body weight, you know, you've got the crane position where he's got her, you know, legs wrapped around his waist and he's leaning her up against a wall and holding her weight. Yeah. You know, those are going to do more. I think if you work out together and you get sweaty and you want to use some of the fitness equipment.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of fitness equipment that lends itself very, very well, to, you know, tie somebody up to or hang on tight to or, yeah.
Yep. It's all good. So let's work on those squats. And I'll be interested to know if anybody has any other suggestions that they use for increasing their stamina in the bedroom.
All right. Let us know. You can text the show anytime, by the way. In the States, we're at 941-725-6455 at 725-MILK. In Canada, 613-604-6464. And by email, Sue?
Sue@sexwithsue.com.
I cannot get over this stat you just gave me. 35% of women are more excited about the Super Bowl than they are about Valentine's Day? No.
Yep. Yeah. No. Valentine's Day for a lot of people feels like work. It feels like, oh, they got to go line up and get flowers again. It's this pat, you know, sort of a very artificial Hallmark holiday. And
exactly.
The Super Bowl, if you're like me, I belong to 2 different football pools. And speaking of which, I won $500 worth of lingerie winning my private bet on my football pool. Yep. You should see my corsets from last year because I have won 6 out of 7 years. I have won the football pool with, you know, this particular bet. I'm not always the top, but I'm always in the money.
And lingerie is what's on the line?
Well, it's $500, and yes. So the guy that I bet with is a very old friend. What I do is I say, okay, I want $500 worth of clothes. Last year it was at the Boutique de Corset.
Okay.
And he gets a dinner, which would include, I'm sure, a bottle of bourbon. And I would probably say easily spend $500 on bourbon and steak. But sure. Anyway, I win every year, so it's not an issue. So I make him say, it amuses me to buy lingerie with it. So I like the Super Bowl. I like the NFL. We're having a fantastic Super Bowl party this Sunday. If you're, if you're in Ottawa, you want to join us. We're at Mulligan's Golf Bar on Queen Street for the Super Bowl. Come join us. And it's great because it's exciting. You're with your friends. The commercials are super fun versus Valentine's Day, where I'm thinking I don't need any more chocolate because I'm constantly on a diet, but love chocolate. So it's always a, push-pull thing. You don't want to cook. You don't want to clean. You can't get a reservation anywhere. But the Super Bowl, man, that's we got Rihanna at the halftime show. Come on. How can you not be excited about that?
I get excited about Rihanna a lot, actually, for a lot of reasons.
Yes.
Including the music.
Including the music.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be fun. And so I think that as you get, I think there's this expectation, a lot of people are into the anti Valentine's Day. And I run a singles group as well. And we are doing a lot of anti Valentine's events. We didn't do a Valentine's.
See a lot
the
of
Valentine's
that.
Party yeah. We're doing this weekend involves learning how to do massage. It's in it's in kind of the Playboy Mansion, but it's silly and fun. And I got comedians and it's going to be great.
I agree about Valentine's Day and the commercialization of it. And let's just be honest, Sue, if we can for a moment. Okay, Valentine's Day is nothing more than a warm-up for the real big event, which is my birthday 2 days later.
I know, the 16th right. of February. I heard See? That. So, all right. So, maybe we need to find you some kind of new sex toy, because one of the things I'm talking about at the Valentine's Day event is the new toys. What's new? Like, we don't want to know what's new.
Oh, boy. All right.
And for guys, it's traditionally been a tube and a hole, but there's a couple of new things on the horizon. So maybe the Valentine's Fairy will drop something.
My favorite ever, and I still don't know what it's called, but I had a partner use it on me. It's a ring that goes around, and there's a little shaky thing that is underneath, and it's wow.
Yep. So it'll be happy birthday to you, and we'll figure out how we. How we add that, but I'm going to be talking about what's new in toys, and that will be next week's conversation
right.
on our podcast. So you can't miss that because I'll have all the new fun things and be talking, and I'm going to get some clips from people and getting their thoughts on what's new.
Sue, I never miss an episode of your podcast. I hear every
either.
One of them.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So the last question I have for you, Sue, is this. Why in the world is breakup sex so fantastic?
Because great sex requires a little air. The more comfortable you are with somebody that you can leave the bathroom door open or run around in your grubbiest pajamas means it's not as hot, right? The closer, more intimate you are, the worse the sex is traditionally because, it's good sex. There's an expression, fire needs air. But breakup sex, you've got some distance. So you've got you know what pushes each other's buttons, but there is some taboo. There is some mystery. You don't know what the hell they're thinking. And it's kind of the difference. It's different from ex sex. All breakup sex is kind of ex sex, but not all ex sex is breakup sex, right? And you want to find out whether or not it's got diverse consequences about doing it. And there's been some research saying that what happens with it, because the first 3 weeks after you break up, you've got, some of those feelings, you're not sure you want the relationship to end, you want to reconnect, you don't necessarily want to throw it away, you don't want them to be seeing somebody else, you've got some sexual frustration. And they sort of put it into three different categories. There's hedonistic, mm-hmm. basically, I want to make it hot and crazy, and the thought of it's running through my head. They're ambivalent. So it's like, do me now. And the person who wants the relationship to continue least has the most amount of power. So if you want the relationship a lot, you have the least amount of power. So the other person can be more ambivalent and you really want to try harder. You want to look your best, feel your best, saying, look what you're missing. And then there's the maintenance of you know, sort of establishing whether or not this was, you know, this was something that we're breaking up because of something ridiculous and this is going to pull it back together, or it's the piece, you know, and if it continues and you do stay broken up, the sex gets worse. So it doesn't always stay as hot as it is.
So it's kind of in the moment kind of thing. We're sort of, you know, we're sad to see it go, but we're trying to hang on to something. And maybe it was the sex that was really the best part about it anyway.
Well, for a lot of people, it is the best part about it. And, you know, that if you can have just sex. And the truth is, when you ask people about some of the hottest sex of their life, they'll tell you about an ex who was an idiot outside of the bedroom. But man, the sex. And it just clicked on a whole bunch of levels between the sheets, but not as a life partner.
Angry sex is up there too, right? You hear people talk about angry sex.
Yeah, that it's I don't care what you're feeling. I'm going to use you. And when you do that, you're just like, you stop apologizing. You stop being, you're just like, grab them. This is what I want. Because most people, what they're craving when they come to see me as a sex therapist, they're saying, Sue, I miss the passion. That's what I want. Yep. I miss passion. Yep.
Yep, that initial spark, the thing that drove it there in the first place. Yep. I get it. All right, and finally, the sex worker course.
Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that. Oh, my God. So, you know, you're hearing about OnlyFans. I heard you talk about Twitch on BTR and how you're the only, you know, only radio station streaming on Twitch. And I want to... Twitch account.
And I am, but you know, if you've not been on Twitch, first off, it's gamers, gamers, gamers. But the people who make a lot of money on Twitch are typically young, very attractive women, and I don't begrudge them at all. And they're sitting in a swimming pool that they've set up in their living room. And like for $1,000 tip, I will write your name across my chest. And it's like, you know, and listen, girls can do this, right? Women can do this because guys are just stupid. I go, okay, I'm gonna see my name written across your boobs. I'm gonna send your $1,000 tip right now. Yeah, guy doing that, generally speaking, is not going to make a whole lot of money. So I'm kind of this odd duck in the Twitch universe. I'm actually talking about real things and not in a bathing suit. You're welcome.
Yeah, well, that would be cool. I think it's interesting. So OnlyFans, these kinds of things are becoming, you know, obviously more popular.
Like everybody and wants to do this now, right?
I know. Now famous actresses are on OnlyFans, etc. But Durham University in the UK got a lot of heat, but they defended their sex worker course. It is a legitimate university course about how to be a sex worker, the research, the history, the how to be safe, because many of the students in the UK were taking to sex work part-time as their hustle to deal with the expenses of being a student. If I ever had the body for it, I think I would have stripped through university. Never did. And I'm now this middle-aged woman. Who the hell wants to see me in a hot tub? I've been told that that's not true, Sue, that there is that whole MILF thing.
If I had the confidence then that I have now, I would have been, thunder from down under, but, you know...
Yeah. Our magic mic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, magic milk. Yeah.
Magic milk. You get it.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, but I think that's really interesting. So if you are, and I'm hoping you're going to put it online, but there are people, I follow a girl from Nova Scotia on Twitter who does sex. She's this cute little redhead and she does sex work because her ex-husband, you know, basically it was a very bad breakup. She's left kind of homeless with two kids. Mm. And she turned to sex work on the internet to feed her kids and now teaches people how to do it. And I think it's like, if people want to do it, like fill your boots, right? There's no shame in it.
Sex work is work. It's just like, it's no different, right? Like if you're, whatever you want to pursue in work life, you need some sort of education in order to be good at that, in order to succeed at that, in order to even get the door open for you, right? So this just makes sense.
These are not street walkers. These are not people who are, you know, using money for drugs. These are smart university students. I remember talking to Asia Carrera at a video conference back in the 90s. And she said, oh, yeah, she you know, played at Carnegie Hall, studied at MIT. Brilliant, brilliant girl. She said, I make more money in porn. I'm going to put all my money into high yield mutual funds and I'm going to retire by 35. And I'm I can't beat that.
I interviewed Ron Jeremy at Sexapalooza a few years ago. I was fascinated to have the conversation. This is a brilliant guy who actually, university educated to be a teacher, was a teacher, found his way somehow into the porn industry, and just realized, I make more money at this, so why the heck not? But they're smart about it, and you need to, you know, you need to understand the workings of all of this. Like you said, OnlyFans, Twitch, etc. I mean, you hear sex work, and I think people instantly think of that streetwalker. No. Right. Think of it as sexy work.
Yeah, especially if you're just doing pictures of your boobs with some guy's name written across it in a Sharpie from your living room. You know, your mother, my mother is probably not seeing that. There is no way, you know, that if you, as long as, you know, my rule is, you know, don't embarrass your family, you know, because they didn't sign up for that. So as long as, I think it's discretion's important, but some people are like, screw that. I don't care. I'm me and I don't want to. And I'm like, then that's your prerogative.
And that's the catch 22 of wanting to be that person, but also being a person who lives a very public life on radio, right?
Right.
Not wanting to embarrass the family. You just
agreed.
Yeah, you hit on something that's one of the biggest struggles I have. And it's not like my name is Smith, right?
My parents are still wondering where they went wrong, but they thought it was going to be a doctor delivering babies. So we understand that happens. But again, it's not doing something that embarrasses people, but you also feel like they have legitimate courses. So if you can take a course on sex work, fill your boots.
And as a Durham University, when you first said it, I thought North Carolina, but no, we're talking Durham in the UK.
In the UK.
All right. Hey, if you got a question for Sue, you got comments on the podcast, we're on Google, we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on iHeart, we're on Amazon Music. Ask your smart speaker to play Turned On the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. What's the email address, Sue?
Sue@sexwithsue.com.
Look forward to another conversation a week from now.